look at the first Tosfos here on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the beginning of the second Perek HaKoryas HaMegillah. Rabbanan Amri Omar Kro Shema. In other words, the Rabbanan derived from the word Shema that you could be Yotzei Kriyat Shema in any language. Nira says Tosfos would seem the Halacha Kechachomim, that we pass like the Rabbanan against Rebbe. Rebbe holds that Kriyat Shema has to be recited dafka b'loshen kodesh. Chada diyochid v'rab malocha kiravim v'o diomar dekomar v'rabbonin sari kaman diomar hakori eshma v'lo hishmia li ozno yotza. That the Rabbanan hold that even though he didn't hear what he was reading, he's yotze. Which means that we need the word Shema as a ribui, that you could be Yotzei b'chol lashon, and therefore we don't have the word Shema to teach me that tzarech lashmi ali ozno. So the Chacham hold that hakori v'lo hishmi ali ozno yotzi yadecho vaso. Ubeperek sheni debrochas maskivin kitanakama derab yosi diomer kein hosom. And Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Brachos to the effect that we pass like the Tanakhama against Rabbi Yossi and Akori Yishma V'lo Yishmi Eli Ozno Yotza. And that means that the Halach is like the Chachamim, that we're not going to use the word Shema to teach me Shema Eli Oznecha, and therefore we can use it to derive the conclusion that Kriyat Shema Nemra B'chol Lashon She'ata Shomea. So we accept both kulos of the Rabbanon. Number one, we allow you to be able to say Kriyat Shema without hearing what you read. And number two, we allow you to read Kriyat Shema in any language. B'chol Lashon Shata Shomea. There's a footnote here that the Shagasai has a little bit of a problem with this Tosfos, because how does Tosfos quote a Gemara in Brachos? There, the Gemara says that Halacha Kerab Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azari l'chatchila be'inan lashmi ali oznov, and he derives from the pasuk Shema. In other words, we're not going to darshin if we pass like this, Rabbi Yehuda, that the word Shema is coming to be matir all lashon. And on the contrary, this opens up a vista that we could say that Halacha is like Rebbe. So Shagasari answers that we must assume that Tosfos holds like the drasha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariya d'shma d'tzorch lashmiya l'chatchila tzorch lashmiya liozno is only an asmachta to be the right safim l'chatchila in tzorch lashmiya liozno rabbanon hu d'machmire, and therefore it fits in perfectly that Tosfos quote paskins like the chachamim, and this din that l'chatchila you have to be mashmiya liozno is only the rabbanon. Now, if you take a look at the next Tosfos, which is on the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Kol HaTorah B'chol Lashon Nemra, Pirush B'Kuntris, Shenosna Nitno Likros B'chol Lashon, Sherotza Likros. And what we're talking about now is B'Sefer Torah. So we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur can be fulfilled in any Lashon. That's what it means, Kol HaTorah B'chol Lashon Nemra. So Tosfos has a problem with Rashi, because he says the following. He says, V'kosha Sharei Kriyas HaTorah Eino Min HaTorah El Min Rabbona. Now this was the Takon of Ezra, or possibly an earlier Takon of Moshe Rabbeinu, but let's assume it's the Rabbanon. Levad min Parshas Zohar Davi Doraisa. It's the only Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur that's the Oraisa is Parshas Zohar. And therefore, Tosfos asks the following question. How is it possible that the Pasuk V'Hoyu is coming to teach us that you require Lashon Kodesh in the Kriya of Shema, as opposed to a general kriya which can be fulfilled in any language. Well, how do you know that kriya can be fulfilled in any language from a drabbanon of kriya satora? That doesn't make any sense. Now, to defend Rashi, if we get a chance, we'll take a look at some of the mafarshim. But first, let's see Tosis's pshat. V'nir d'hachi perusha kol kriya shebetora can go mitzvahs chalitza uparshas egla rufa vidui meiser ubikurim kol elu ashrui v'perek elu ne'mor besota, where the Mishnah says elu ne'mor b'chol lashon parshas sota. Vidui meiser tefila berksamozin shvusa edus shvusa pikadon. The entire list lends itself to kriya b'chol lashon, and these are all d'oraisas. So we go through them one by one. We have a chiyuv d'oraisa of mitzvahs chalitza, and that's in parashas ki teitzeh. It says lo ova yevami. She has to make that declaration. And the Choletz himself has to recite Lo Chafatzti L'Kachta. And after Chalitza, she says Kochi Yeyosa. Now all these recitations can be presented, can be recited in any language. And then we have the Parashah Vegla Rufa. The Zekanim have to declare Yodeinu Lo Shofchas Adom Hazeh. Or the Kohanim have to declare Kaper Liamcha Yisrael. And we would assume that these are Nemar B'chol Lashon. Well, let's see. In the Mishnah in Sota, we don't have this yet. Let's just see. So in the Mishnah in Sota, Chalitza is listed under the klal of Eilin Emor B'Loshon HaKodesh.
So, Mesechta Sota.
Right, Mesechta Sota.
Remember that.
Yeah, Daf Lamed Beis. So now we can explain the Gemara's kash over here. The Gemara's question, according to Rebbe, the Kriyat Shema is Nemro B'Loshon HaKodesh, and he derives this from the Drasha of Vahayu. It would seem that Rebbe holds that the Vahayu refers to Kriyat Shema and only to Kriyat Shema, and other Kriyos, which are Doraisa, they could be recited in any language. And those are the Kriyos that are listed in Sota that could be Nemar B'chol Lashon, like Parsha Sota, Vidui Meiser, Tefila, Berkas Hamazon, Shavuos Edush, Shavuos HaPikadon. Now, we mentioned Vidui Meiser here. That means on Motzei Shana Shlishis, U'Bishana Shviya Shel Shmita, K'shemachala Masrosav Mibeso, he has to bring out all the Meiser, that's Bir Meiser, V'Nosam L'Levi Oli Ani. So in the case of Bir Meiser, the Torah says, you have to declare Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. Or in the case of Bikurim, when he brings his Bikurim to Beis HaMikdash in Parashas Ki Tovo, Arami Ovid Ovi, it says that he's Kore, he reads a whole recitation. And in the Mishnah in Sota, Vidui Masros is listed amongst those recitations that can be recited B'chol Lashon. Again, we have a problem with Rashi, because Rashi mentions Kriya Satora here, which is only Durabbanon. So let me just mention to you that there is a possibility, which appears in Tosfos and Brachos Yud Gimel, that Rashi, in referring to Kriya Satora, is referring to, specifically to Parshas Zohar, which is Min HaTorah. The Ritva here in Megillah says that it's true that Kriya Satora on Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim is Deoraisa. And that's what Rashi has in mind. And this is based on a Gemara in Brachos Chaf Aleph, HaKori B'Torah Tzarch Levarach Lefanel Achreha. and they derive this from a Kal Vachomer from Birkas HaMazon. Now, since Birkas HaMazon is Doraisa, and Birkas HaTorah is derived from Birkas HaMazon, then it must be Min HaTorah. Now, as far as Mitzvah's Limud Torah is concerned, which requires a Bracha Lefaneh of Birkas HaTorah, there is no Bracha Lachreah. And the reason for that is because it says V'gisa bo yom v'alayla, and there's no shear to the mitzvah, and the zman of the mitzvah is kol hayom v'chol halayla. So we don't have a minhag of reciting a bracha after limud haTorah. So when the Gemara says that there's a bracha lachreah and derives that from Birkas HaMazon, the Torah that we're talking about here is Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, and it requires a bracha lefaneh lachreah. So it's clear, therefore, from that sugi, that Birkas HaTorah, with regard to Kriyas HaTorah, is Doraisa. Therefore, Kriyas HaTorah itself must be Doraisa. And that's what Rashi means when he says that Kol Torah Kulu B'Chol Loshon Nemra, that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, you can be mekayim in any language, and that Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. That's the Ritva here in our sugi. We're now on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we're up to Tefillah Minolad. Let's see if we can find the place. You'll see it approximately, I would say, maybe 10 lines down from the top.
We're in the second paragraph, right?
Tefillah Minolad.
Second paragraph. Use Zion on his base.
So if it helps you, it's a little bit below this Tosus.
Let me see if I can. Oh,
his
I, that can't be. It's very possible, but it's very possible that that's what happened.
All right.
You need the second volume.
I'll have to read the second one tomorrow morning. Okay.
What we discussed until now at the beginning of this Amud is that Kriyat Shema,
this Snaim Zal Gemara, then you can just share
Kriyat Shema L'Mafreya Lo Yotza. That you have to read Kriyat Shema in its order, in its sequence, and that's agreed upon according to all the Tanoim, both Rebbe and the Chachamim. And the Gemara says that Chachamim derive it from Dvarim HaDvarim. Let's just go over that one more time, see if we can find that. One second, where is it here? Oh, here it is. So the Rabbanan derived the Mafreya as Pasul in Mikra Megillah, as we learned yesterday, from the word Vahayu. Rebbe learns Vahayu means that you have to read Kriyat Shema in Lashon Kodesh, but the Chacham say you can read Kriyat Shema in any language. So what did the Rabbanan do with the word Vahayu? Shel Yikula Mafreya. So how does Rebbe derive this halacha that you cannot read Kriyat Shema out of order? Lamafreya, he derives it from Dvarim HaDvarim. So that's as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned. Now we're up to Tefillah Minolad. How do we know that if you change the Seder of the Brachos in Tefillah, you're not Yotze? Where do we derive that from? Disanya, we learned in the Braisa, Shimon HaPakuli, yes, he was a cotton maker, a cotton manufacturer. His dear Shmonesrei Brachos Lifnei Ram Gamliel Al HaSeder. Now, the simple reading of this braisa seems to indicate that it was Shimon HaPikuli who organized the sequence of the 18 brachos, and he presented it for the approval of Ram Gamliel. Now, this is really not true, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, because in fact, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and we're going to see it here in Rabbi Yochanan in a minute, they organized the Seder HaTfilah, and that was way before Shimon HaPakuli. So therefore, Tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, as the Takon of Anshei Knesset HaGdola, predates Rav Shimon HaPakuli by quite a long time. But it seems that there was some shichacha And they didn't remember the exact sequence until Shimon HaPakuli came along and reorganized it. So that's what the Gemara says now. The Yavna, this took place in the city of Yavna. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, V'amrle b'masnisa tona, may of the Eshims Kenim, the 120 elders that made up the Anshei Knesset HaGedol Bahem, Kama Nevi'im, included even Nevi'im, Tiknu Shmonasre Brochos Allah Seder. So there's a Seder to Tefillah. So the word Seder here is very critical, and you have to follow the order. And if you read it out of order, Hamispalam Afreya, who makdim es ha-me'ucha lo yotza yedei chovosa, he does not fulfill his obligation. And that's true in general when you see the word Seder. For example, in Yom Kippur, there's Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. If you do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim out of order, then you're not Yotze. In fact, the mitzvahs halayla and Leila Pesach are called Seder. Could be that if you, let's say, for example, you were to eat the matzah before the Haggadah, before Magid, maybe you're not Yotze, because it's Bavur Zeh, so there's a very definite sequence. That's called Seder. And in Tefillah, there's a Seder. Now, there's going to be a machlokes in the poskim as to whether or not, and it's all based on a Rashi, if we get a chance, we'll maybe look into this, whether or not if he changes the Seder, then he's not Yotze at all. Rashi seems to apply that only to the first three brachas and the last three brachas. There the Seder is absolutely critical, but not to the middle brachas. So let's say, for example, according to Rashi, if I were to recite Birchas Hashanim, let's say before Rifa'enu, so then what I do in that case is that I would after I finish Rifa'enu, I would repeat Birchas Hashanim, but I don't have to go back to the beginning of Shmon Esrei. It's not as if I completely undermine my Shmon Esrei. Torah Rabbanim, Minayin Sha'omrim Avos. Now it's interesting, this Brisa doesn't tell us exactly why Avos is the first in the Seder. Rather, the Brisa is looking for a source for Avos, Magen Avraham. Shen Namar, a pasuk in Tehillim, Havu Lashem Bnei Elim. Now the reason why the Gemara is darshaning this pasuk is because there's something strange about this pasuk. In other cases, when it says Havu, bring, the pasuk then tells you what you're supposed to bring. So for example, it says Havu Hashem, bring to God Kavod V'Oz, or Kvod Shemo. But here it just says Havu Hashem B'nei Elim. So what are you supposed to be bringing here? B'nei Elim means the descendants of the strong ones, the Elei Ha'aretz. So the answer is that what Havu Lashem means here in this context is not to bring, but rather to recite. The Marsha says, Ein ze loshen tefillah, loshen hazkara. And hazkara means we should mention in front of Hashem, Havu Lashem, recite in front of God, B'nei Elim, which are the Avos. The Avos are considered the B'nei Elim, the Elei Ha'aretz. The Rabbi Nachanal adds another little point. He says that Elim, B'nei Elim means Heim Ha'avos Gibore HaTorah VaMitzvos. Uminayin Sha'omrim Gvuros. What's the source for what's called Gvuros Kishamim? Because the rains fall down with Gvura, with a certain power. Shenemar, the next part of the same pasuk, says Havul Hashem Kavod Va'oz. Knows we should recite in front of Hashem, Kvodo V'Uzo. And these are His powers, His mights. So the might of Hashem, the Oz of Hashem, is the rain that comes down, Min HaShamayim. Now, I'm a little bit confused, because if you would ask me, what does Uzo mean? I would have said it's referring to Tchias HaMeisim, because that's the Gvur of Hashem. But the Chazal identify the Gvur of Hashem as the Geshamim, the rains coming down from Shamayim. You remember, of course, the Gemara at the beginning of Tainus says that one of the maftechos that was not given to anyone but Hashem, it's Hashem kept it close to him, the cards are close to him, is the Geshem. Right? So Geshem is a certain Gvura, it's a reflection of the power of Hashem. Uminayin she'omrim, the next bracha, number three, is Kiddushos, Ata Kodosh Shimcha Kodosh, she'nemar, because at the end of this mizmar that we started, it says, Hovel Hashem Kvod Shemo, Hishtachlu Hashem Bahadras Kodesh. So Hovel Hashem, we said before, means Hazkiru Lefanov, we should mention in front of him Kvod Shemo, the glory of his name. And not only that, but Hadras Kodesh. So we have to describe the Kedusha, the sanctity of Hashem in his name. So that's what we call Kedushas Hashem. So this is the first section, the first unit of Shmona Esrei, made up of three brachos, of Bnei Elim, which is the Avos, of Kvod Va'oz, which is Gvuras Geshamim, and finally, Havul Hashem, Hadras Kodesh, Kvod Shemo, that's called Kedushas Hashem. And that's a unit which cannot be broken down into smaller parts. As a general rule, we're allowed to add things to Shmona Esrei, but not to the first three and not to the last three. Tosus at the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos asks a kasha, why on Aseres Meitzuv we say Zochreinu L'chaim Michumocha Avaracham, and those are additions to the first three, and he has a hard time trying to justify that, because we usually don't allow any wedging in between these three brachos that form one indivisible unit that's called Shevach, Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a famous Joshua from Noroi, he says that you cannot ask Hashem and supplicate before God before you speak out his Shevach. So Shevach is, so to speak, a matir that allows you to be mispalit.
So if I missed this, but did they explain the significance that all these sources are from that one mizmar?
I mean, why do we choose that one mizmar?
Yeah.
It seems that since the word havu in this pasuk, which repeats itself over and over again, it doesn't tell you what to bring. I mean, there's no physical object that's being brought. You're talking about Bnei Elim, you're talking about Kvod Va'oz. So what does it mean to bring something in front of the king, and you're not bringing anything? So the answer is that this is tefillah. Again, which dimension of tefillah? Not what we call bakasha, but rather kavod va'oz, shevach. We are glorifying Hashem. So basically the whole mizmar is telling you how and what should be the content of your glorification in front of Hashem. What do you say to Hashem to glorify Him? And that's the essence of tefillah. Fine, now we get to the first of the bakashos. So the Brisa says, Ma ro lomar bina. Bina is atachoni lanav das, malavid lanosh bina. Bina is a kind of intelligence in which you not only comprehend something, but you add something. That's called mevin davar mitok davar. The paradigm of bina is usually Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, and when he went up to Shamayim and Hashem was teaching him and transmitting the Torah, he was in a state of asking and questioning. That's called Bina, to bring it to a higher level. But how do we know that Bina is the first bracha, the first of the bakashos, and it comes immediately after Kiddusha, Shenemar, Poskin Yishayahu HaNavi, V'Kiddishu Es Kiddosh Yaakov, V'Salokei Yisrael Ya'aritzu. So this pasuk in Yeshaya speaks about Kiddushas Hashem, that we mekadesh the name of Hashem. And in the very next pasuk it says, V'samech lei, V'yadu soei ruach bina. And those who try to understand the ruach of Hashem, after they were mekadesh Hashem, they will teach us bina. So here we have an indication from this pasuk, or the smichas haparshis here, that after you mention the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then immediately you should be mispal for bina. You should ask for bina. he has a footnote here in the name of Mara Cohen, and he writes that Bina is connected Moshe Rabbeinu. And he quotes the Sefer Rokeach, who wrote an extensive work on Tefillah, who in turn quotes a Pirkei Rav Elazar, that Anu El Yonu V'Omru Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Avram, Ubeperek Lamed Aleph, Amad Yitzchak V'Omar Baruch Ata Hashem Machai HaMesim, Ubeperek Lamed Hei, it's all different chapters there, Vayetze Yaakov Hakel HaKadosh, Uperklamites Roel Yonim Shemosa Shema Mufurs Lo Moshe Rabbeinu Vi Omer Bruchata Hashem Chonen Hadas. Now I'm not sure why the Shema Mufurs is relevant to Tefillah or to Bina or Das. Usually we assume the Shema Mufurs was used by Moshe Rabbeinu to initiate various miracles. So that's not clear. So Rabbi say, if we wanted to, we'd really have to go through Pirkei Rav Elazar. There's a great super commentary on the Pirkei Rav Elazar called the Shadal. His name is Luria. Umaro lomer tshuva achre bina. Now we have to make a point here so that we understand the Gemara, and that is that the word tshuva here is a reference to Hashivenu. Because there's another bracha that's very similar, which is called Slicha, Slach Lanu. But right now the Gemara is totally focused on the bracha of Hashivenu. And that's called Harotza B'tshuva, correct? We have another bracha of Chanana Mar B'Lislach, but that's going to come in our discussion a little bit later.
There's also Hashiva, which is...
Hashiva?
Same shorash, but different idea.
Speak a drop loud if you don't mind.
Same shorash, Hashiva, but different idea.
Oh, Hashiva, correct. So what do we have here? We have a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi again. Dechsiv ulevavo yavin vishav v'rafalo. So the first part of the pasuk speaks about the bina, binas halev, the wisdom of the heart. And then it says, Vishav. Vishav means tshuva. And therefore, immediately after the bracha of Bina comes the bracha of tshuva. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha Menashuva. Ihachi, if that's be the case, then right after Vishav, Lema Refu, it says, V'rafalo. So why is it that the bracha of Slach Lanu, and we'll soon see also the bracha of Geula, of Gal Yisrael, those two brachas are wedged in between Bina, which is the first bracha, Tshuva, which is the second bracha, and then Rifa'enu, which should come right after on the coattails of Tshuva, instead is pushed off by two brachas, which are wedged first. So I thought the answer to the question is that Slach Lanu is the fruition or the culmination of Hashivenu, because once we speak about Hashem wanting us to do tshuva, now we should immediately do tshuva and recite Slach Lanu and ask Hashem for slicha. But the Gemara wants to see how to work it out in the psukim. So the Gemara asks, Lema Refua Basra the tshuva. Let's recite the bracha of Rifa'enu immediately after the bracha of Hashivenu, because the Torah says, the pasuk says, V'rafa. And yet we find that we have the bracha of Slach Lanu and then the bracha of Geula that come before Rifa'enu. So where answers Lo Salka Daitach. He says it's impossible to have Refuah before Slicha. In other words, Refuah could only come after Slicha. So Slach Lanu has to come immediately after Hashivenu Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says... I'm assuming that this is also in Yeshayahu Novi, if you don't mind double checking for me. It says, V'yashuv el Hashem V'yirachmehu V'el Elokeinu ki'yar b'lisloach. So in other words,
Yeshayahu.
So immediately after tshuva, after V'yashuv Hashem, it says ki'yar b'lisloach. So we have to have slicha after tshuva. The Maharsha is bothered by this Gemara. He says, what was Gemara thinking in the Havamina that Rufu should come before Slicha? Ketzad Yisrapi Micholyo Lufneisha Nislach Avono. So he says, first in the process, you have to get Slicha from your sins, and that's kind of restoring your spiritual health, and then you can ask for physical health. So he says, the Havamina is that we're not talking about Rifa'enu in terms of the health that we're asking for sure we are, but Rifa'enu is a concept of Yisurim, the suffering of a chole. And the Gemara tells us that chole, that Yisurim shall chole memarkin es ha'odam, they cleanse his soul, not just his body. So that the vehicle now for kapar and slicha is the chole itself. And therefore the Gemara has a havamina that we should already be praying to Hashem to accept our Yisurim and to terminate our anguish, our chole, right after Hashiveinu, because that's how we achieve kapara. Lemaskano, what's the final conclusion? Gamim yeshlo ovon godol, velo sagile bisur lemarko, velo hayaroy lerefua. If his sin is so severe that he cannot justify kapara because of Yisurim, so Rafaenu is not going to bring about his refuah, because even though he's claiming Hashem, you already struck me with all this suffering, now I should have kapara, now heal me. He says, but the sin sometimes is too grave, it's too severe. But if a person does a genuine tshuva and he begs Hashem for slicha and kapara, then Hashem will send him refuah after the slicha. So in the Havamina we thought that the element of chole itself could bring about a kapara. The maskon is that that's not always so, and therefore the key of keys here is slicha. And if you want to get back into health and you want to ask Hashem for physical health because of your spiritual tshuva, then first you have to recite slach lon.
I'm just interested in the fact that when the Gemara starts and starts goes with avos, bros, and kedusha, it just looks for a source. Why do you start with avos? Why do you start with bros? Why? What are those important? And then when you get to the question maro omar bina achar kedusha, so then you're trying to connect them the brachos to see what the proper order should be.
Well, I agree with you, John, with regard to avos, that when the Gemara, this Brisa quotes Minayin Sha'omrim Avos, it doesn't seem to answer the question. Well, you know what I'm thinking a second time? What I'm about to tell you I think is wrong. But it doesn't seem to answer the question about the sequence.
Right.
But the rest of this Brisa, so the way that we're interpreting it, it's all about sequence.
It's all about sequence.
And that's why the Brisa asks itself a number of questions here that logically, if you're deriving from these psukim the sequence, then you should have come to the conclusion that Rifa'enu should come right after Hashiveinu. And the Gemara gives answers to see that there are other psukim where right after Hashiveinu there's Slach Lanu. But now I'm thinking out loud that if this parsha in Tehillim is going to be the source for the various brachos, and those are the first three, then the sequence is also important. So let's just see if I'm right about the sequence.
The way the psukim are lined up.
Correct. So let's just see if Avos is the beginning of the pasuk. Let's see. It says, Mizmor LeDavid, Havul Hashem B'nei Elim. So we're in Kapitel Chavtes, and the first pasuk in Kapitel Chavtes is Avos. And then the second pasuk is Havul Hashem Kvod Shmo, which the Gemara identifies as Gvuros. Just one second. Havel Hashem Kavod Va'oz. No, I'm sorry. That's in the same pasuk, but it's in the sefer the pasuk. Okay, and then we go on to the next pasuk, which says Havel Hashem Kavod Shmo Shtachel Hashem Adras Kodesh, which is Kedushas Hashem. So I want to just correct what I said before. I thought that Minayin Shomrim Avos means, how do you know that there's a source for reciting and mentioning Avos? The answer is no. How do we know that Avos is the first of the brachos? Because it appears first in the Seder HaPesukim. Umay chos is the samchit aha smochaha. You have these two psukim, right? We had one pasuk that said vishav v'rafalo, which means right after Hashimenu we should be reciting Rafa'enu. Now we have another pasuk that says ki arbel esloach, which means that following tshuva we should mention slicha. How do you know which of the two psukim to rely upon? So the Gemara says that we have to add another pasuk. It's like a kosav shlishi achriya beinehem. And what's the kosav shlishi k'siv kra achrini hasoleach l'chalav onaychu? This is a pasuk in Tehillim, if I'm not mistaken. Let's just double check that. Yep, pasuk in Tehillim. Harofe lechol tachlu oichi, and then hagoel mishachas chayochi. So this is going to introduce geula. But before we get to geula, let's just see the Seder HaPesukim. It says soleach before rofe, and that means that the brach of Slach Lanu has to come before the brach of Rafa'enu. And this is the cause of Ashlishi Akriya Beinehem. Oh, so now, let's just see what happens over here. L'memra d'ge'ula refu'a basa slichahi. Should we say then that we should postpone geula and refua till after slicha, because the pasuk says asolech l'chol avonaychi, right, and then a rofe and a goel. But for ksiv, that would be fine and dandy if not for a pasuk in Yeshaya that we had earlier. It says v'shav v'rafalo. So that means that even right after, directly after tshuva, we have the brach of refua. And yet in the pasuk it says Slicha comes first. So what do we do with the second pasuk in Yeshaya? So the Gemara answers, Hahu, that pasuk of Vishav v'rafalo, lav refua detachluim hi, the word refua should not be understood as physical health, restoring health to someone who's ill, because such a refua to someone who's ill would certainly come after Slicha, and not after tshuva, ela refuah de slichahi. This pasuk is talking about slicha. Again, it says v'rafalo, but you have to reinterpret v'rafalo as slicha. So when we talk about spiritual health, we're talking about the fact that God forgives us for our sins. And as a result, it's like a chole shenisrape. It's like a person who was ill, and he became healthy again. That's v'shav v'rafalo. So I have a note here on the bottom, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Ezu Dava Shetzach Refua, what needs Refua, and it's going to be a Gzardin. Tosfos explains that Slichas Avon is called by the name Refua. And the Marashah explains that Refua here is Refuas HaNefesh, which is the same as Slicha. So even though the pasuk ostensibly on the simple, straightforward level, v'shav v'rafalo, sounds like refuah should come right after tshuva, but no, the word refuah is a reference to slicha, but not to the refuah for our machlas haguf, for our physical ailments. And therefore we need slicha first, and then we're going to go to refuah. But in the middle we're going to wedge in geula. So that's the Gemara's next question. Umar ro lomar geula b'shvius. Why is it that before we get to refuah, we're going to recite the bracha of geula? And that's going to be the seventh bracha, right? Because we have the first three brachos. Then we have tshuva, and then we have slicha. So that gives us, just one second, what am I missing? We have the first three brachos. Then we have, das, we have bina, tshuva, slicha. So that's 3 plus 3 is 6. And then number 7 is going to be Geula. Now, at this point, the Gemara assumes that there's some sort of significance to the number itself. So it's not just the sequence that we have this bracha and this tefillah first and then this bakasha second, but that each bracha unto itself grabs onto a number. And that number is somehow related to that tefillah itself. Now, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't go through all the brachas and talk about all the numbers. That I can't tell you. I can only tell you that at this juncture, and from here on perhaps, we're going to say the Geul is the seventh bracha, Rufu is the eighth bracha, and Birchas Hashanim is the ninth bracha, and each one of these numbers is significant and related and reflects the tochen, the subject of the bracha itself. So now the seventh bracha has got to be Geula. Why? Because Geula relates to the number seven. What's the relationship between Geula and the number seven? Amar Rava, Mitosh Asidim Yisrael Igoel B'Shvius, that the ultimate Geula of Klal Yisrael is going to take place on the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. We'll see how we derive this. Lefichach, therefore, Kavua, they established the bracha of Geula in the seventh bracha, B'bracha Shvius, to indicate that Geula is in the seventh year. Now Rashi asks a question over here. Rashi says that Birchas HaGeula is not about the ultimate redemption. We'll have two brachas later on. There's Tzemach David and there's Bin Yerushalayim. The bracha of Geula here, the seventh bracha, is about a personal Geula, an individual Geula, Min Hatzaros HaBaos Olam, from any kind of suffering, whether it's psychological or whether it's physical. This is not the Geula of Ben David. So therefore, how do you know that the number seven, which reflects on the Geula of Klal Yisrael, should be related to Birchas HaGeula? That's Rashi's question. So Rashi answers that even a personal Geula, somehow Me'ein HaGeula, means there's a relationship between the individual and the community. So now the number seven is appropriate for Geula. L'ficha kavua b'shvius. So now the Gemara asks, V'amar Mar. Now, the 7 years before Geula, it says in the Pasuk that the first year is going to be Ra'av, but Lo Ra'av La'lechem. And each year, as the Gemara interprets it in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Zion, each year has its own particular phenomenon. And after all these 6 years, each one has its own kind of expression or manifestation. Then we get to the seventh year, which is Geula. Ubashishis. And the Gemara derives that in the sixth year, which is before the Geula, is Kolos. There'll be sounds. And those sounds indicate that Ben David is coming. I'm not sure if these sounds are like a baskol, or that Tkiyah Shofar is the sounds, but in any event, these are harbingers of Geula. But yet, what happens in the seventh year? That's not going to be the year of the Geula. The Shvius Milchamos. On the seventh year, they're going to be fighting battles against the various nations and the adversaries of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the Gemara has a problem here. How can you tell me that the number seven is particularly related to Geula, when in fact the seventh year is described as the year of Milchama? So the Gemara answers, oh, and Ubimotzai Shvius Ben David Pa, and the Geula is only going to happen at the beginning of the eighth year, not in the seventh year. So why is Geula the seventh bracha? So the Gemara answers, Milchama Nami Yischalta de Geulahi, that these wars are the beginning of the Geula. So even though the ultimate Geula is going to take place in the eighth year, but the process begins with Milchama in the seventh year. So this is very interesting, the concept of Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of Geula. It's almost as if we are praising Hashem for the Milchama itself. So the Milchama itself is going to be a conduit to bring about the Geula. And even though Milchama is something very difficult, obviously, full of anguish, but nevertheless we'll have to understand and appreciate that anguish in a broader context. Like the Beis Halevi is very famous for saying that when you thank Hashem for the Geula, you have to thank Hashem for the Golus as well. Because if we had the divine insight, we'd be able to appreciate that even the Golus is really part of the Geula. Umaro lomar refua bishminis. Why is the bracha of Refaina related to the eighth, to the number eight? Omer Rav Acha Mitoshen Nitna Mila Bishminis Tzricha Refua Lefich Kavua Bishminis. It's interesting that Tefillah, which is so important, so central, we recite it three times a day. The number itself is about the refu of the child as a result of Nila, and that's on the eighth day. The Maharsha doesn't understand the Chalal. Why is the Gemara asking, why is Refuah the eighth bracha? After all, we said that Refuah has to come after Slicha, and we said that Geula has to be the seventh bracha. So if you add A plus B, if you add the fact that Refuah has to come after Slicha, and we only wedge in Geula because Geula has to be the seventh bracha, then Refuah by definition is going to be the eighth bracha. So what is Gemara asking, this question of why is Refuah b'shminis? So the Maharsha says, Lule sheyesh tam yuchad l'kvoa Refuah b'shminis, if not for some pressing urgent reason that compels us to classify Refuah as the eighth bracha, lo yumafsikim b'geula b'shvius. There would be no hefsik here to add geula and therefore push off Refuah to the eighth bracha. Why? Shalposik bala hasmik Refuah l'slicha. Now we have the following factors here. On the one hand, the pasuk says that Refuah comes after Slicha. So that would mean that Refuah should be the seventh bracha. On the other hand, we have Geula that cries out to be the seventh bracha because Geula is in the Shvius. So how do we juggle this all? You know, we're in a bind. And the answer is that we're going to take another significance of the number 8 to Refuah, and that's going to be like the Kosva Shlishi. So even though Refuah should be right after Slicha, just so we have a reason why Geula might come first, we also have a reason why Refuah should be pushed down or pushed up, I don't know how you say it, one more notch, because it represents the number 8. Alright, let's learn a little bit more and then Zach will have a chance to schmooze a little bit, yeah? Can you stay till about 9:15?
Sure.
Okay, great.
8:15.
I'm having to say 8:15. Oh. Maro loma birchas hashonim b'tshiyas. Now here you get the impression that there's no reason to recite birchas hashonim right after Refuah. The only reason to do so is because of the significance of the number 9. And it's unbelievable. The Gemara is going to take a look at Tehillim and count the chapters of Tehillim until it gets to the number 9. And when it gets to the number 9, we're going to see that the content of the 9th chapter of Tehillim is very intricately related to the bracha of Birchas Hashanah. Unbelievable. There's a long discussion about whether or not this bracha this pasuk that we say Shvar L'Zor Rosh, whether that's actually in the 9th chapter of Tehillim. It all depends upon
how they're split up.
Yeah, it's a sugya b'basra, I think, exactly
first
how
first two
split.
I think,
yeah, whether you combine the first two into one. I think this sugya here that we're learning today is assuming that you split between the first and the second, right? Thus Shvar L'Zor Rosh is the 9th. He has a long discussion about this in the back. Maybe we'll get a chance to look at it sometime. Amar Rav Alexandri Keneged Mafkiei She'arim. So the word She'arim here, which literally translates as gates, is referring to the pricing of various products based on the law of supply and demand. And what happens is, if the supply is low and the demand is high, it jacks up the price. And the price could really soar up to the heavens in such a way that the sellers are making an unbelievable, unjustified profit. And all this is at the expense of Nebuch the Aniyim, the poor people, who cannot afford to buy food because of the expense and the inflated price for food. So the whole purpose of Birchas Hashanim is that if God will bestow His blessing and therefore the supply of food goes up, then the price of food goes down. And that's called Mafkiya Sharm, to break those buyers, I'm sorry, those sellers who are raising the price beyond what it should be.
What's Alexandria?
Alexandria, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is actually a city in Egypt.
Okay.
But you know, this is his name. His name is Alexandri. It could be that his ancestors came from that city. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's Rabbi Alexandri.
Right. Okay. That's his name. Dichsiv. Now, where do we find that David HaMelech prays HaKadosh Baruch Hu against these mafkiyei sha'arim, against those who are breaking the standard, you know, reflect the normal reflected price, and instead are charging an inflated price? Dichsiv. It says in Tehillim, Shvar Zroa Rasha. Now, the word Rasha in this context refers to the mafkiyei sha'arim, those who are overcharging. And how do we know this? And what? And David HaMelech saying, break the arm of these Rishoyim who are overcharging? And the answer is because the Pasuk says in the same capital in Tehillim, where this Pasuk of Shvar Zroak Rasha appears, which, let's see what number it is, he has it as number, it's funny, he has it paradoxically as number 10, but the Gemara has it as number 9.
Right, in today's Siddurim it's number 10.
Number 10. But back at the time of the Gemara, it was number 9. In any event, in that same capital in Tehillim, we'll call it number 9 for our purposes, it says, Ya'arov lachtof ani. And we're talking about the Rishayim who are ambushing the Anim. Now, usually, a listim, someone who wants to ambush someone to take his money, would attack, his victim would be an Ashir, would be a rich person. So why does it say in the Pasuk that he's attacking an Ani? And the answer is that these Rishayim here that we're talking about are the Mafkiyei Sha'arim, and their main target, their victim, is the Aniyim, who can't possibly pay this high price for food. V'David ki Amara b'tshia samara, and this perek in Tehillim is the 9th perek of Tehillim. Umaro lomar kibbutz golios li'achar birchas hashanim. Now we're no longer playing the numbers game. At this point, we're getting back to the sequence game. That there is some sort of logical, compelling reason why the sequence should be such that immediately after the bracha for parnasa, for shanim, comes kibbutz golios, t'kav shofar goliosenu.
Until 8. Because on 7 and 8, talk about numbers.
Right. But 7, 8, and 9, yeah.
Well, yeah, but 7 and 8 also had the order from the previous ones. Refuah, up to Refuah, we had the reason for the order.
Right.
But then Rechaz Hashanah was only the number. And now we're back to the order.
Right.
So so far Hashanah stands out as not giving us an order.
Right. We'll see if it'll appear again and again. I don't know. But right now, it's sequence. And the Pasuk says, let's see where this Pasuk is in Yechezkel HaNavi. It says, V'atem Harei Yisrael Anpechem Titenu U'Pirichem Tisu Lami Yisrael Ki Kervu Lovo. So the Navi is saying that he's sort of addressing the mountains, Harei Yisrael, that they should generate these branches and these fruits for this benefit of Am Yisrael, who are coming close to Hari Yisrael. They're now being gathered in, what we call the ingathering of the exiles, to Eretz Yisrael. So the tefillah of Kibbutz Golios, appropriately, is juxtaposed immediately after Birchas HaShanim. In other words, after the God will bestow his bracha on the Shanim, then there'll be Kibbutz Golios. And the Rasha quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in order to establish support for this Gemara, that the Ketz HaGeula begins with Birchas HaShanim, and then it goes on to Kibbutz Golios. And the Gemara adds here, V'kevan sheniskabtsu Golios nase din birshayim, and there's going to be a judgment and a meeting out of punishment against the Rishayim. That's after Kibbutz Golios. Shenemar, now we just quoted a pasuk in Yechezkel. At this point, we're going back to Yeshaya Navi, who is the great prophet of the Geula, and he says, "V'yashiva yadi alayich, v'tzrof kabar sigayich." Okay, so now we have Kibbutz Golios. Oh, so what does it mean, V'yashiva yodi olayich v'tzchof kabor sigayich uksiv? In the next part of the pasuk it says, V'yashiva shoftayich k'varishona. So Yeshayahu is foretelling the Asid love of the time of the Geula Kibbutz Golios. And then immediately afterwards he says, V'yashiva shoftayich k'varishona. which means that we're going to have the bracha of Shavtayich right after the bracha of Geula, of Kibbutz Golios. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go on to the next bracha. So let's just read this pasuk one more time and see if we can get the flow here. He says the following. It says, Ashiva Yadi Alayich Vatzrof Kabar Sigayich. And I think that this is the process of din. Do you have any sort of translation of this pasuk?
No.
No. You still have that French thing or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But anyway, there's a process of catharsis over here. Vatzrof Kabar Sigayach. Sigayach are those parts of the physically of the chaff and things like that that have to be cleaned away, but in a symbolic sense it means to cleanse the personality, and that's, I think, going to be through the process of din. So Shavtayich here is in the Poska Shiva Shavtayich for Ishona. So we're trying to explain why is it that immediately after Kibbutz Golias, which is Tkabashof for Gadol Herusenu, immediately afterwards we have Hashiva Shavtayich Varishona. And the answer is that the first pasuk of Tkabashof, the first bracha of Tkabashof for Gadol, is the shofar that's going to gather together the from the diaspora, the exiled. And then immediately afterwards, after Kibbutz Golias, the pasuk says Hashiva Shavtayich Varishona. And that's going to be the period of what we call Shoftim. Shoftim meaning the judges of Israel. So Belina, tomorrow we'll try to pick this up and figure out exactly where Lamalshinim al Si Sikva comes in and why it follows after Ashiva Shoftayich Varishona, the bracha of the Shoftim of Hashem, Hashiva Shoftenu Kvarishon of Hashem returning the Shoftim to us after Kibbutz Golios. But again, Tkabashof Gadol Cherusenu, Son of Kabbetz Nidcha Abo Yisrael, that's all about Kibbutz Golios. And Kibbutz Golios is going to come after Hashem bestows the blessings of Birchas Hashanim. So Birchas Hashanim, which we said it's connected mafkiya sha'arim, because if there's a great supply of food, then that's going to stop these mafkiya sha'arim from charging a jacked up ridiculous high price. And that's the beginning of Geula, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that if you see that this Birchas Hashanim has come to pass, then you know we're ready for the next level, the next stage of Geula, and that's going to be Kibbutz Golios. And the pasuk that we saw before in Yechezkel speaks about Titnu Piryechem, which means that there's going to be a lot of plenty in the land. The Navi is telling us that there will be peros for Am Yisrael. And now Klal Yisrael are ready to be, you know, to be gathered together after Hashem has already blessed us. So he's beginning the process, and then the next stage in the process is Kibbutz Golios. And the next stage in the process of Geula is going to be Hashiva Shavtayich. And that's based on the juxtaposition of the pasuk that says Hashiva Yadi Alayich, which means that God is already turning towards us, and then Hashiva Shavtayich Devarishon. So tomorrow, Mr. Shem, we'll talk about Birchas Hashanah, and we'll try to finish this up.